Relax. It's just reality.
So I just sat down, and as soon as I sat down, you know how some like some sports pants, they come with like, well, some pants, they come with like zippers for the pocket, so you can zip things up and unzip them down so things don't fall out of your pocket. Well, as soon as I sat down, the zipper on one of my pockets came out, like, broke. So my pants, one of my pockets is ruined. So I'm so distraught over that. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do the show, but I'll try my best. I will try. It's not going to be easy, but very few things in life are. So anyway, welcome back. Today is very exciting because it is our final episode. This was a bi-weekly podcast, and this is the last week that I get to record and submit one. So very, very exciting. Also a little sad, but that's just the way life is. Everything has to come to an end. So for this week, I really wanted to talk about something that we haven't talked about before. So I started looking back at all the previous episodes, and we spent a lot of time talking about the issues facing our generation, ourselves, and social media, loneliness, the environment that we find ourselves in with like the metaverse and all that kind of stuff. And we started thinking about the future and what that means, how we can build the future for ourselves. And all that's very good, and it's good to know yourself. But I started thinking about how do we need to start looking outward, because nobody is an island. We are social animals. We have to live in the world that we find ourselves in. So I started thinking about, okay, well, how do we better do that? Because we focused a lot on how do we better ourselves. So how do we better how we view the outside world? And the best way to do that is to have empathy. And so I started thinking about empathy and what that really means. And so that's what I want to focus on this week. What is empathy? Do we have it? And how does it help us help ourselves? Because it really does. We've looked inward, now it's time to look outward. So what is empathy? Well, the most common dictionary definition is that empathy is the ability... Is that empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. To an extent, we could say, well, of course we know about empathy. All of us have empathy. We can all do that. But I started thinking, have we lost... do we still have the ability to do that? And I'm not sure that we do, if I'm being completely honest. And basically, what we're trying to do with empathy... Because the basic premise of empathy and what we're trying to do with it is that we're trying to put ourselves in other people's shoes. We're trying to understand their emotional states, but we're also trying to see where they're coming from. See the world as they see the world. Why are they doing what they did? Because it's all well and good to share emotions with somebody, saying, oh, I my pet died. And then it's like, oh, well, I had a pet who died, so I can understand that. I know that sadness. It's another level to take it towards, how is this person viewing the world different from me? Is it different from my own? And where are they coming from? Why are they coming from it? And can I actually understand them? So to me, empathy is a far more in-depth version of empathy that I don't think we currently have. And there are numerous reasons for that. And I think one of the reasons why we have such lack of empathy is due to the technology that we share. It all goes back to technology. We have to all bring it home to the tools that we have and how we use them and the world that we live in and how we communicate now. So technology has been so successful in connecting people that it is our primary form of communicating with others, especially for the past 2 years with all the pandemic and lockdowns and stuff. We have used online spaces as our primary form of communication. It's so successful in connecting people that have the same or similar ideas, is that it shuts out our ability to actually be exposed to and meet new ideas and talk about them. So what do I mean by that is, well, it used to be that we used the internet to talk about similar things. Like there are different forums for different interests that we have, for different groups of people. Groups of people that come together and talk about their struggles, their interests, and that kind of stuff. And what it's done, essentially, is that it's given people the ability to completely retreat from other points of view and then just not be exposed to or have to engage with different ideas. So it's essentially just formed an echo chamber of hearing the same thing and being reinforced in your own ideas and not having to question them. And technology has also enabled us to anonymously say and do things that we don't normally do if we're doing things face to face with somebody. It's very easy just to create some anonymous username and then go online and then say some very disgusting things or treat people really badly and just treat them almost inhumanly and throw hate at them and all that stuff with very little consequence to ourselves, because there's a difference, as we discussed before, there's a difference between the real world and the virtual world. And the real world is that the difference is that in the real world, there are consequences and it affects change. Whereas online, you can basically say or do whatever you want and nothing really changes, except maybe you yourself internally. In the broader scheme of things, nothing really changes. And so technology essentially enables our bad behavior. And we don't really have to come to terms with maybe I'm wrong, you know, maybe what I'm saying isn't correct, maybe I acted badly, maybe I have to change myself. In a way, technology enables us to just become stagnant in our opinions and as people, because there are no consequences to our actions, and then if there are, we can just retreat into our echo chambers and have our opinions reinforced by other people, because they're in the same echo chamber. And this is the same technology in social media that's essentially turned us into narcissists obsessed with attention and how we present ourselves. So there's also, so this is building on that, which of course is not good. And I assume that when people hear this, people think, oh, well, our generation is the most empathetic of all. You know, we are constantly seeing stories of different people and different people's struggles and their issues, and we immediately spread love and support and show support and all that stuff. We love a good cause, you know, we love causes. We, as soon as somebody starts up a Kickstarter or how can you support this group or that group or this effort or that effort, we love a good one of those, you know, we'll hop on that without a second thought. So of course we're empathetic, right? Yeah, of course we are. We are the bestest peoples who care about everyone all the time. I have a hard time reconciling that. I really don't think that is the case. Because if you've been online at all, you know that as soon as somebody steps out of line and they don't follow your particular doctrine of what should be, of how to view something or somebody, the consequences for that are backlash and hate and just real ugliness. It's just bitterness and ugliness. So I don't think that's true. We are not empathetic. And also, a bigger issue with technology is that it simplifies everything. You know, everything's just a talking point. Everything's just a sentence. Well, it's just this simple. Again, online, there are no consequences to things. So of course everything is just a simple line of dialogue. Of course everything is just a two-sentence summary of something. Whereas in the real world, it really isn't. It is not simple. The real world is not a simple place. There are different opinions. There's history to things. It is a chaotic and strange world that we live in. That was just a little side note. But going back to it, I don't think we have empathy. And it's so important to have empathy now, especially now, after 2 years of lockdowns and being isolated from society. Society's just been forced to live online and not engage at all with other people. And we've realized now that what we had before was very superficial and not very fulfilling. So today, our relationships before was very superficial and not very fulfilling. And a lot of people coming out now are looking to form actual bonds with people. Looking to form actual, have real consequential relationships, just because then you have somebody that you can rely on. You have people that are close to you that actually care about you and your well-being. That was There was a story about that, but it was mostly in the romantic context. But it also expands to the logic context, which is just people don't have a lot of actual relationships. They just have a lot of acquaintances, and they don't realize it. And I especially when in the 2 years you didn't really have an opportunity to make friends during the lockdowns, or maybe you didn't have a lot of friends before. My heart just goes out to all the university and college students who spent their first and second years online, and they completely missed that boat of, the experience of being freshmen and not knowing what you're doing and being in a new place or being in a dorm and having to get to know people that way. They missed out on that, so they don't have the same connections, which is a real tragedy. But we're coming into a new world, clearly. It's so strange how much the world has changed in the past 2 years, but something new is here. The pandemic was the end of something, and I think a lot of us don't know what that is, but we recognize that it was the end of something, and something new is coming in. A new perspective to the world, a new method of how we interact with things and other people. Yeah, it's just a new perspective on what's important. And so the ability to understand others is extremely important. Everybody is different. Everybody had a different upbringing. Everybody has a different background. Everybody has different experiences with different things. And those experiences could have been very consequential in in their development. And so we can't just write off people who disagree with us. We can't afford to do that. And why is that? Why can't we do that? If we have people who are at our backs, why can't we? Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we do that? Why shouldn't we just ignore people who disagree with us? And the reason why we shouldn't do that, and well, there are more than one reason, but the reasons why we shouldn't do that is because one, that says it's a moral, it is yourself being completely immoral. You, and so then you do not have the moral authority to make any judgment on anyone. If you're willing just to throw out people, you do not have the moral authority to do anything. It serves more about you than it does about them. Whatever their opinion is, you don't attack people, you attack their ideas, and you see if you can convince them of the opposite. And sometimes you can't, and then actual conflict comes in. But sometimes you can, and you have to be willing to engage with ideas. All we have, you have to be willing to engage with ideas, because that is how the future is determined. And sometimes they may expose flaws in your ideas, and you have to have those discussions in order to find out what the best solution is. So that's one reason. And the other reason is that they are in the same world that you are in. They inhabit the same world than you. They are part of the world that you are in, and you cannot cut out parts of the world without facing the consequences. And so, in order to better understand the world that we live in, you have to understand where other people are coming from. You have to understand different experiences and different perspectives, because they are as much a part of reality as you are, and you have to understand that. And so it's only by understanding other people that we understand the world that we live in, that we can actually plan our lives and affect real change if that's what we want to do. Then that way you can change, and then that way you can avoid further future issues and future conflicts by just having the mistakes brought out now in the present. By better understanding them, we can better understand our ideas and ourselves and our shortcomings. And we just better understand the world. We better understand the world. You're able to plan ahead, and you're also able to live with them as well. This is a huge thing. Once you understand them, you're able to live with them. You don't have to abide by them, but you don't but you're able to li but you're able to understand them. You don't have to abide by it, but you have to live with it. And so by understand and by and so through understanding, you're able to live with it better than you would have not understanding. Because reality isn't always going to give us what we want. Sometimes we have to compromise. And it's through that compromise that we're able to move forward. Everyone is able to move forward. That's just what I wanted to talk about for our final send-off. We're not you we spe we can better ourselves, and we should better ourselves. We can understand the issues that we're facing, so we can plan ahead for the future. But we also need to have empathy and understand our neighbors and the people around us. We cannot just expel all those who disagree with us. We have to get to know them. We have to understand why they think the way that they do, that they do. And by doing that, we can put ourselves in their shoes and we can understand where we can understand them, and then we can compromise or we can engage in the battle of ideas, and eventually things will get better because we will point out the flaws in each other. We can better plan. We can better figure out how to change those flaws. We can compromise if need be, and we can all move forward together. And by doing that, we will create a better future. So that is why we need empathy now more than ever. Because it's very easy to be sucked in into one side and just not budging. But that is a mistake, because you're really just proving your own inability to navigate challenges. That's just the thought and discussion that I've been having with myself, and I thought I should share it with you. Hopefully this discussion has helped you understand empathy and what it is, what it actually is, and why we need it. I leave this discussion, this idea with you all, as this is our final time. I hope this has been beneficial to you. It certainly has been to me. And let's move on to our final music recommendation. Actually, wait, we were supposed to have good news this week as well. Ah, jeez, I forgot about that. The good news, I'm trying to be optimistic. Let's bring it back home all the way. Let's bring it back home to Genshin. So the new update is going to come out in a couple days. There's going to be a new character called Ayato. He seems pretty cool. Also, Venti Rerun, that's pretty awesome. So yeah, that's the good news. Bring it back home to Genshin. New Genshin update. Looking forward to it. Now, let's move on to the music recommendation. So, seeing as this is our last week together, I thought for this music recommendation, I will recommend to you three songs that I've been listening to a lot and that I think you will enjoy. We're going to keep it weird and outdated as usual, you know, because we can't be modern with everything. Mostly because most of the things modern either sound the same or don't really. I kind of just, eh. So let's get on to it. So the first song, I'm sure a lot of you have listened to if you've all been watching Peacekeeper. It's the opening song to that show, Do You Wanna Taste It by Wigwam. Sorry, it's Do You Really Wanna Taste It by Wigwam. They're actually a Norwegian rock band, which I thought was pretty interesting. The original song was released in 2010. The reason why I like it so much is probably the same reason why they used it in the opening for Peacemaker, which is, you know, the show starring John Cena on HBO Max. It's based on the character from Suicide Squad, the other Suicide Squad that James Gunn did, because the first one was bad. I'm not gonna... It's weird. Anyway, the song itself, it's very upbeat and silly, but and it also has that sentiment of classic rock. So if you like classic rock, you're really gonna like this song. It gets you pumped up for the day. It has a very energetic rhythm and an energetic melody, but it's not... But it also has a steady energy to it. It's not... It doesn't overpower you, it doesn't get you too hyped. It's just something that kind of wakes you up in the morning, and then if you're already awake, it gets you kind of excited for the day, because obviously rock stars shouting into a microphone really gets you excited for the day, because especially when they're hyped up about what they're talking about. Obviously the lyrics don't really matter at all, but it's really the synergy of it all, the energy of it all, that's just very exciting, and it's also just fun. It's a fun classical rock song. So there's that. The second song that I want to recommend to you is a song that is The Parting Glass. Now, this song has a lot of history to it, but we'll of course just focus on the versions that I want to talk about. Although I'll cover the history a little bit actually. It's a traditional Scottish song, but it's also very popular in Ireland. And they say the first printed version came out in the 18th century, so it's very old. But it when it actually began to become very popularized in the modern setting is when it was first printed in the Colm O'Lankin's Irish Street Ballads in 1939, and then Patrick Galvin recorded the song in 1956. And then the Clancy Brothers popularized it when it was included in their 1959 album, Come Fill Your Glass With Us. And then, of course, it was also a version sung by The High Kings, which is an Irish band. I believe, and they also popularized it. And but the cover that I've been listening to a lot recently is by Celtic Woman, and of course Celtic Woman is the same musician who we spoke about in our last podcast when she did the cover of Caledonia. So both of them, she's a very talented singer. And the reason why I'm gonna, and the reason why I've been listening to The Parting Glass a lot is because it's a drinking song, which is the first reason, of course. But the entire song is focused on saying goodbye. And what's nice about it is that it doesn't do this deep dive into what saying goodbye actually means. Oh, the psychological, emotional level of saying goodbye and how well very, and here's why we feel sad saying goodbye, and it's because there's a twinge of melancholy, and that doesn't go to the full backstory of, you know, I never thought I'd see this person again, or I only just met this person, and we had such a good time, but now they're departing, and their departing means that I'll no longer be in their presence, and that kind of stuff. It doesn't go into all that. It just focuses on the feeling of just saying goodbye, and that's it. It's really, because it's meant to be a song that you sing in a tavern, right? At the end of the workday at midnight, you're drunk, and you and your buddies are also drunk, and so you just sing this song in solidarity. And that's really the feeling that you get from it. It's just, we have to say, I don't want the night to end, but it is. And so I'm saying goodbye, I'm having my last glass, and then we'll depart. And just focuses on that. It just focuses on that feeling. And because it's so simple, it really allows you to empathize with it. Oh, speaking of empathy. Yeah, it really allows you to just empathize with it. We've all had that feeling. And that's really it. It's just a beautiful musical rendition of something that we're all familiar with. And it's nice to relive that feeling, because even though it's not happy, it does have a bit of joy to it. That's like, yeah, we had a good time, you know. We suffered through the bad times, and we had a pretty good time, and that's the end of the cycle until the next day. And so that's why I'll recommend it to you, because it really is just a beautiful, simple song that we can all relate to. And I'm honestly a sucker for subtle emotions, so there is that. The final song, the last thing that I will recommend to you all, is a song sung by Enya, called by Anywhere Is. And Enya is kind of like a meme, but she is a very talented singer, and her songs are very kind of melodramatic, but they're also very beautiful to listen to. And this song, Anywhere Is, I honestly don't know what she's saying. She mentions the ocean a lot, but it has a beautiful melody, and the vocals are very nice, and it's just calming to listen to. So that is the reason why I will recommend it to you. If you're ever feeling stressed out, annoyed, or whatever, and you just want to listen to something to calm down, just put on your headphones and listen to Anywhere Is by Enya. I don't know what she's saying. I don't know what she's talking about. The thing about Enya songs is that you never really need to. You just need to know that you're in for soothing vocals, a beautiful melody, and that's it. And sometimes that's all you need. Everyone, thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for going on this journey with me. It's been very interesting. It's been brief, but also very insightful. I originally started off saying this was a very interesting thought experiment that I wanted to do, and I feel like I've come out better for it, and I hope you have as well. And I at least hope I've got you to start thinking about some things that you wouldn't have really thought of before, or at least open the window to a peek into an alternative perspective on things. So, thank you all, is what I really want to say. And maybe you'll hear from me again, maybe not, but I'm very glad we were able to go on this journey together. Everyone, thank you again. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. See ya.